Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I feel like the clock is ticking, right? Because you have a firm end date. It's been made clear. The owners want this to wrap up. A World Series to be completed by the end of October. So how soon, how close are we getting to a place where we're going to run out of time?
We are running out of time. The clock is ticking on this. But the key, the important first step is a willingness on the part of the MLBPA to get back at the table and engage in the process.
So if you were 100% last week, and you feel less certain, what percentage do we feel now?
You know, Mike, I do learn as I go along. Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
I'm not confident, Mike. I think there's real risk, and as long as there's no dialogue, that real risk is going to continue.
Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, now not confident that there will be a major league season. That's what he has to say about where things stand in baseball. This just 5 days after saying 100% there will be a baseball season. So he is now backing down from that. And what changed? What changed in 5 days? I think it's pretty simple to see what changed in 5 days. He had a players association that realized the nuclear option is possibly the best option, playing 50-ish games at a full prorated salary.
Yep.
And so they said, fine, go ahead, force us to play the season. In fact, the statement from Tony Clark even said as much. Tell us when and where. Tell us where we need to be, and we'll show up and play your season. That's what they did. And I think it was smart on the part of the union to go this way and say, sure, go ahead. We'll play that. Yep. Tell us the when and where. And that's the official statement from the union that they were ready to go to work. And then there was another statement, Tony Clark, saying players are disgusted that after Rob Manfred unequivocally told players and fans that there would 100% be a 2020 season, he has decided to go back on his word and is now threatening to cancel the entire season. Any implication that the Players Association has somehow delayed progress on health and safety protocols is completely false. As Rob has recently acknowledged, the parties were, quote, very, very close. This latest threat is just one more indication that Major League Baseball has been negotiating in bad faith since the beginning. This has always been about extracting additional pay cuts from players, and this is just another day and another bad faith tactic in their ongoing campaign. I think the last 5 days and the flip-flop by Rob Manfred is a huge, huge damaging thing to their credibility in this.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, five
is.
Days ago you said we're go. You can force the season on them. The players then said, okay, tell us when and where, through their statement from Tony Clark. And then you say, oh, now I'm not confident. I'm not confident because there's real risk. When you had just said that you were very, very close on figuring out what the protocols and managing the risk would be. So now you're just lying through your teeth, and it's pretty obvious that you are. And what happened was you screwed up. You thought you were leveraging the players by putting that nuclear option on the table. You thought that was going to force them to do a deal. And, in fact, it went the other way. They said, oh, okay, now you're showing us there's no incentive to do a deal with you. So just force the season, and we'll show up and do it. and he lost in trying to create leverage, and the players don't appreciate it and are less motivated than ever to do a deal. And then it turns out, according to Ken Rosenthal, that option didn't please owners either. So owners are not happy with Rob Manfred, and players are not happy with Rob Manfred. So everybody hates Rob Manfred, which, as a Rob Manfred hater myself over the years, I love. I absolutely love this. This is great. I love this. But I also hate that baseball is now in more of a mess than it's been at any point during this.
It's tough times. It's tough times. And like you said earlier, you know, we haven't seen this type of thing happen to us in our lifetime over 100 years. And there's going to be little kids that are going to be playing baseball before Major League Baseball plays or doesn't play. That's amazing. Jim's a coach. Jim, you have what? Your first practice when?
Tonight. I have to get there about 45 minutes early and get my
coach
cleaning supplies
Jim
and the snack bar and clean the dugout.
Snack bar? What's going on with the snack bar?
That's where my cleaning supplies are being left for me.
Oh, okay. You're not opening the snack bar.
Well, no, I'm opening the door, getting my bottles that are labeled with my name on them. I got to fill up the bucket. I got to go wash the dugouts off before practice. I got to disinfect the equipment before practice, set up the cones 6 feet apart so that everyone can come in and drop off their equipment.
Janitor Jim.
What if, like, one person walks up and said, look, I really need a churro. I mean, can you help me out?
You hook him up. See, the best thing about Jim's snack
I'm not asking you to stick your hands in and make me egg salad.
Real food. Do you know Jim's did breakfast sandwiches for their tournaments? And they make hot dogs and barbecue and Jim's snack bars. It's one of those high-end snack bars. Don't be Warwick, you know. They're only going to have chips and popcorn. High-end.
It
good
was
stuff.
Back in the day when we could have sports.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be really weird. It is.
Right. Isn't it great? Little League.
Little League will play before Major
MLB
League Baseball because of money. That is the – and it's to what we talked about earlier. All the problems that exist in baseball, which you don't like in baseball, they're still going to be there when baseball ever comes back because this is about one simple thing, and it's money. And there's a lot of people that look at it and get pissed about it. And I think, you know, the burn it down crowd, that what Beetle talked about earlier. And are you really serious about this? Well, kind of in the moment you are, because there's a lot of people struggling money wise out there. And there's these baseball players that can still go out there and make a nice little lump of change here and still go out and play the game that they supposedly love. Then do it. Prove it. Prove us wrong. You know, Manfred could walk away and just put it on the table. Hey, it's not me. It's these two sides. You know, and he would actually look good for once.
If he resigned, I think we'd get more progress.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why do you think that, though?
I think the same could be true of Tony Clark. I mean, just if you start removing some of the people that are that have a lot of animosity toward one another, you might be able to get a better result.
How many owners you think, percentage-wise, actually don't want to play the sport this year? See, that's a big question, too.
It's a good question. We know there's at least some. And the fact that there are at least some that feel that way is part of what's ruining the game, too. I mean, do you have owners that are passionate about their sport in this league?
No.
Right?
Nope.
I mean, that sort of, you know, that sort of feeling among owners it's alarming. It should be alarming that they don't care if they play. That's a problem. And that would be a problem in any sport, that you're, you know, maybe even openly rooting for there to not be a season. Why in the world would you ever want that for your sport? Why?
I don't know. There's teams like, you know, Oklahoma City and the NBA, like, bitching about, hey, man, what a business, you know? And it seems like NBA teams want to play, want to get out there and do it. And it doesn't seem like baseball wants to. Like, you have your big market, big name teams that want to do it. But I'm sure there's a lot of them just barely making enough to say, you know, it's not a big deal if we don't play it this year. Hey, we're past that point. Just cancel the whole damn freaking thing. Let's re-up next year. See what happens.
Apathetic
next year.
Owners. I didn't even know that would be a thing in any sport. Nah, who cares?
Which ones do you think are apathetic? The ones that have to give money to the revenue sharing, or the ones that get money to the revenue sharing? Well, how does that work when they're losing money? Like, what is that? Are the more powerful owners excited for no season, or are the owners that, because the owners that get the revenue sharing you'd want more revenue, right?
Yeah. Well, my guess is that revenue sharing is going to go down to near nothing,
And they probably already told them, yeah, you're not getting anything.
Small market teams, for once, are actually going to have to absorb some of the losses in the league, right? So if the league is absorbing some losses along the way and there's not all this, you know, revenue sharing going on, that as a result, the small market teams are like, oh, F this. I don't want to play. I don't want to deal with this. You know, the Tampa Bay Rays just like being on the gravy train. The Marlins, they like doing the same thing. They like showing up every year, barely producing a team that's of MLB quality, and then just collecting the checks from the league. Those are the problems in this sport. You know, those the revenue sharing is set up a welfare system in baseball that just rewards just being there. And I just don't think that it's never been good for the sport, but now it's especially bad if you've got owners that just want to take a pass on playing.
It's funny, if the players came out and like said, no, these owners from these teams that are getting the revenue sharing, these are the guys we're pissed at, I'd be behind the players 100%. If they're going out against all owners and it's like a one-against-one thing, if they singled out and said, no, Marlins, the Rays, the teams that are collecting these revenue sharing, the teams that don't really want to play, these are the guys we're pissed at, I'd be 100% behind the players. I don't know if that's the case or not, but if that was the case, that would make it different for me. It would change things for me. I'd look at the players a little differently.
617-779-0985. If you have any thoughts on that, please. We welcome them. We're going to get to the action update. Also, Andrew Raycroft. Yes, Andrew Raycroft had a tweet about Major League Baseball as it relates to his sport, and that would be the NHL. So let's talk about the comparison he made between the NHL losing a season, as they did a number of years ago, 2005, and what it might mean for baseball if they lose a season. We'll get to that next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand at 12:21, 617-779-0985. Remember Bruins goalie Andrew Raycroft?
Yes. No? I thought that was a rhetorical question.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Do you remember him? Yes. Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay. Why don't you play Phil Collins? Do you remember? Do you remember? Yeah.
What he song say, is baby? That?
Phil Collins, do you remember?
I don't hear that. I hear Michael Jackson.
Do you remember?
Do you remember
the time that we spent? Do you remember?
Well, Andrew Raycroft is on Twitter at Andrew Raycroft, retired NHL goalie, and also does work
creative.
In Essen. Raycroft says this. What, are you knocking him for that? At Scott Zolak.
No, at Scott Zolak. Yes. At Mark_Bertrand. At Hey, it's Hardy.
He says, 2003-2004, the NHLPA swore they would never accept a salary cap, and Andrew Raycroft was playing at the time. 2004-2005, no season. 2005-2006, salary cap.
Salary cap.
He says, 2020. MLBPA swears it will never accept a salary cap. 2020, question mark. 2021, question mark. He says the rhetoric is very similar to me. Owners usually don't lose these. That is what Andrew Raycroft put on Twitter about what's going on with the league and with Major League Baseball. Number of flaws in his argument here.
Money.
Of flaws, but a good point nonetheless.
Right.
Number one, there was no pandemic and shortened season that the NHL was trying to bargain through. That was, you know, CBA negotiations.
Right.
However, that's coming up in a year in baseball. We're a year away from that. At the conclusion, well, a little more than a year. At the conclusion of the 2021 season, the CBA expires. And so I've heard some people, Maz, say that players should not be concerned about the possibility of whatever they agree to now impacting CBA talks later, because that they put in writing, they put this in writing in that agreement, that what they agreed to would not impact the CBA talks. Just because it's in writing, what the hell does that mean? Like, what does that signify?
Yeah.
Something that they could negotiate now absolutely could impact what happens in those CBA talks a year from now. But let's just put that to the side for a moment. Is Major League Baseball headed for a labor stoppage in baseball in a year? And that's in addition to what's going on right now if they miss the
better
season.
Better not.
Well, yeah. See, Zoe, you said it. They better not. Now, would in a normal year, would everything, you know, be kind of like pointing toward that? And if this were just a mild pandemic with some strife between the league and players and owners and players, yeah, you could see where it's headed toward that. It's absolutely headed toward that right now, but they can't allow it to happen. I mean, like, cooler and calmer heads are going to have to prevail on both sides. You know, we talk about the detriment to the sport if they're unable to get together and even play a 50-game season this year. Could you imagine, after all this, if they can't figure out a way to play next season? And they
Oh, my God, they'll get crushed next year. People will somewhat tolerate this because of what we're going through.
Right.
Somewhat.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
a little
next
bit.
Year, you don't play because you guys can't come to an agreement on a CBA. And then it's really about money and guarantees. Then it's like, go pound sand. Take your sport and go pound sand.
I mean, people talk about killing the league all the time, and it's like, kill the sport. One of Deb Maz has been on this forever. Just, I hope it dies. I hope they kill it. They finally just put the final nail in their own coffin and do it. That might do it. If they can't figure out a way back now, like Zoe says, all right, you don't get a pass, but there's a lot of stuff that's messed up right now. You can't do it next year.
They were the sport.
That's what I really fear for the sport.
Raycroft says owners don't typically lose these, and he's right. And I think of it in this sense. If baseball players came to the table today and said, okay, owners, we're going to make all these concessions, we're going to play, we're going to do this, do you think the owners would turn around in a year and say, hey, you've dealt in really good faith, and we're going to deal in that same fashion, and let's work to get a deal done and listen to your concerns on collusion and call-ups for players, you know, in the month of April, and
yep,
service times, things, all the things that Tony Clark was talking about back in November and December before all this happened. Do you think they would at all be rewarded for that?
No.
Like, no, the owners aren't going to give them an inch. And what if, but if players now shut it down and say, forget it, we're not doing this, that's only going to get held against them too. So the players are in sort of a no-lose with how this, no-win that is, in terms of how this is going to impact their labor negotiations. But they could certainly make it worse by not playing. And the economics of the lost season are going to be brought up during the course of those talks. And I don't think players are going to agree to a salary cap. I don't think they will. In fact, I think they were going the other way, looking for a salary floor for the sport, which would be better for the sport. So I would say, yeah, you know what, Andrew Raycroft, you're right. Owners don't typically lose, but this is the league where the players have always fought. Always. You know, with Marvin Miller starting when he started. And the NHL is in a better place now because they have the guy that was once on the side of MLB players in Donald Fear. Like, that guy was, you know, the guy that shut it down in 94 and said, pack your bags and leave the facility. We're going on strike, and the players went on strike. And I just think that baseball is going to fight it, and so it could do some serious damage. Missing two out of three seasons, this season and the 2022 season, that would mean you'd have one season in between, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, assuming things get better with everything that has gone on out in the real world. But can you imagine that? They missed two out of three seasons.
If you were a player right now, and you played in a sport that never had a salary cap or hasn't had one while you were there, would you be willing to listen to them talk about it now?
No.
Don't they already have a de facto salary cap and the luxury tax threshold, though?
Yes.
So what's the big deal? If they set the salary cap at $208 million,
that's why you couldn't sign Mookie Betts.
How is that fundamental? Right. There already is a salary cap. They just don't. They don't talk about it. But they.
Why do you think?
I take that back. They do talk about it. It's kind of understood that nobody goes more than 2 years exceeding the salary cap threshold, and then you have to reset. So if there's already,
but Hardy, that's assuming that that number is going to be the number they set the cap.
And that's
at.
Why I wanted to ask before.
Set it a lot lower.
Right. So what do you think that? What do you think reasonably they would try and set it at if they have multiple teams? You know, and you figure out what the average is. Could it be as high as $175 million?
I'll tell you why it's never going to happen as well, why there are going to be owners that don't want it. Because the Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, name whatever big market team you want, they don't want to lose that
spend
advantage.
It. They're going to spend one. To it, and the other ones and, won't.
And number two, if you want a cap, you have to give a floor. You have to put a floor in, like the NHL, like the NBA, like the NFL. You got to have a floor. You can't have one without the other. You're not just going to allow them to cap salaries without setting a minimum spend. And the small market teams don't want that. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go for that. Oh, what? The Rays and Marlins and all these other crappy lowball teams are going to have to actually spend money? That ruins their whole setup. So I don't think it's going to happen. But I think it's more about maybe not salary cap is the right way to put it, because they're talking about sharing the revenue, right, based on their accounting. That's what they want to get to. Oh, we'll share 50% of it with you. And I think that players are not going to fully believe them, because they don't believe the owners in their accounting ever, and nor should they. The owners always lie. So maybe cap is not the right word.
Yeah, but and you brought it up, but you know, between the Rays and the Marlins, you know, those guys are down there, what, 50? $70 million?
Yeah.
There's such a disparity between the teams at the low end and teams at the high end. It's going to throw the average off. And, of course, the teams who are spending, you know, $208, they're going to love the fact that they are prohibited from spending more than $175 if they set the number up there. And they're like, great, they're saving ourselves some money. But now teams are going to be expected to get somewhere close to that. And for the Rays and Marlins, they're like, oh, we got to spend an extra $100 million plus?
Yeah, 2019 payrolls, you had five teams that were in the $60 million range, between $60 and $70 million. Marlins, Pirates, Blue Jays, Orioles, Rays. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the NHL model, they're not that far apart. You're not going to be able to have 175 max and a 75 minimum. The NHL is 81.5 for their cap and 60.2 for the floor. It's a pretty small range you have to fall in. So there are teams that if they were to ever try and figure out something like that, there are teams that are going to have to come up with a lot more money to pay their players.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Hardy has our headlines. Get you caught up on, I guess all the happenings. All the happenings in a world without sports. We're back with more. Also, later this hour, some good news for Zoe. Stay tuned for that.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Talk to
question about the NFL that's related to the Major League Baseball situation. We read earlier that football with no fans loses $3.5 billion. If they're at half capacity, let's say they lose 1.7, 1.8, whatever that number might be, half of that, depending on how,
yeah, how it's calculated.
I don't know what it includes. Right. Does it include parking, and that's less than tickets? So I don't know. You know, I don't know what that number exactly comes out to be, but let's just, for the sake of the conversation, say that football is going to lose a $1.5 billion. If that happens to the league, is football going to go through the same situation that baseball is going through right now? In terms of the NFLPA arguing with the league over money and what the pay cuts might be.
I would say no, because I've always operated under the belief that the NFL was a much more healthy economic enterprise. But listening to Major League Baseball players demanding that the owners open up their books, I don't know. I still think it's healthier, but I don't know by how much. I think Major League Baseball might be a little healthier money-wise, or at least the players believe it is, than the owners would lead us to believe. Does that make sense?
Economically speaking, baseball is very healthy.
Yeah, but is it,
yes.
But don't you think the NFL is healthier?
Yeah, I think that they're more popular, and I think that they, you know, their revenues. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So
NFL's a monster. Yeah.
My inclination would be to say no. I don't think they're going to go through the same thing because they can absorb those losses more easily than baseball. But baseball might be able to absorb those losses too, and they just choose not to. And it depends on how stubborn both sides are going to be. And baseball, we know they're going to be stubborn. They've shown that in the past. Would it happen to that same extent in football? Something about football owners lead me to believe that they'd be more willing to take it on the chin just a tiny little bit in order to avoid any disruption of getting back to when they're allowed to get back to normal. Just more at stake.
You would think there's more at stake, more want to stay as normal as possible. Yes.
But the league is going to go to the players and say, we've got to get back our money. We've got to. Do you think the league is just going to say, oh, we're going to lose $1.5 billion? That's not going to impact the players at all.
No, they're going to ask for it. But how stubborn and how immovable are they going to be in their positions? Like right now we're seeing from Major League Baseball owners, they've pretty much got their hearts set on, you know, playing only this number of games or paying this much in salary, and you can do the percentage and the pro rating however you want, but that's what we're going to spend, and that's it.
I mean, I think that there's going to be some sort of situation in which they're asked to possibly defer money as a possibility, or it's going to impact the salary cap in a significant way for following seasons where it's to the point where players are going to make less overall. But I think generally speaking, you're right. I don't think it's going to come to this in football. But I think players could still get hurt in this, and I think it could still piss some people off, and they could lose some money along the way, assuming that the league is going to lose money as well.
It seems like a given that the cap's going to come down next year.
Yes, it does.
So, like, I mean, teams that have overspent are going to be kind of screwed next year. Teams that have overspent with that, like, oh, this cap's going to go up $10 million every single year, knowing that, like, and teams plan their rosters out that way.
Right.
Like, if this happened this year for the Patriots, they'd be screwed the way he managed their cap last year.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. Or you could put in place, you could, you know, negotiate a system in which players agree to a percentage pay cut that allows teams to stay under the cap. Right? If you bring everybody's salary down X amount, whatever percentage that would be, due to a pay cut that they agree to universally, does it keep everyone under whatever that new cap number is?
Yeah, get Brady's number back down there to normal rates.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on, because this could come up in football too. It could come up really in anything at this point, but it's something to watch. In addition to that, we told you the NFLPA had a call with agents yesterday. That's where we got all this information from. Tom Pelissero had a report as well that on that call with the agents, the NFLPA's medical director, Tom Mayer, said the current plan is to test players for COVID-19 about 3 times per week, isolating those who test positive. Per Mayer, there's a 90% chance of reliable saliva testing being available before the players return to the facilities. So they won't have to get the giant swab up their nose three times a week. They believe there will be saliva testing available.
Spit in the cup.
Probably not exactly that way. But
I'm dry mouth again. What about the people that have dry mouth?
See, that's a question I would think that the agents would ask Beadle that was legitimately asked by their clients. Hey, if you can find out on this call, when they're talking about testing, is it this nose thing that I've either already had done once or I've seen on YouTube that looks like zero fun? See if you can find out for us. That's something I bet the players wanted to know.
Is that nasal swab extremely painful?
It's extremely discomforting, yes. I know I have a friend that had it.
Talked to someone yesterday that said it was awful.
Yeah.
Really?
You literally feel between your eyes.
Well, you were goofing on Enes Kanter for it, weren't you, Zoe?
Oh, he's got that.
Tom was.
Oh, T-Bone, sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Strongman back there.
Yeah, he's got a haircut. He's got a whole new attitude.
He's different now.
Yeah, he's cocky now. He was meek before. Not anymore.
Cocky Tom.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Tom's loving it. 90 degrees this weekend. Gonna be out there getting a tan.
Oh my God! Yeah. Haircut. Gonna get a car wash.
I'm gonna get smoked.
Tom's about to go into his deep brown summer.
I'll be dark. I'll be darker than T-Bone by Monday.
T-Bone needs to.
I guarantee you won't.
T-Bone needs to.
Oh, will you? Will you? What are you gonna guarantee?
I will guarantee it. We'll.
It's your paycheck versus his, though. Okay.
Nope.
Love it.
Doing that.
Okay.
That's a good bet.
T-Bone needs to flip over, though. The fronts of his legs are much tanner than the backs of his
legs. T-Bone is the only man in that building should be wearing shorts, okay? Because he at least has some sun on the lower part of his legs. Oh, he doesn't come in with shorts, with white socks and black shoes on.
Oh, he is medium well on the front, but a little pink on the back still.
It's all right. People see you in the front, Tom, and you say, hey, how you doing? Hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
Oh, they see him coming.
Yep.
So let's have a tan competition on Monday.
Now I got to break out the big stuff.
Okay.
I have actually ordered this stuff from Amazon. It's like this like dark, deep. I'll bring the bottle. I got to go downstairs and get the bottle because they sent like way too much. And it's just the good stuff, man. You rub that on. It's got the carotene in there. It's just got like already the orange, dark brown already in there, Tom. It's almost like fake tan you put on, but it's not.
Like I don't know about this stuff.
You know
what
it is.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Hawaiian Tropic?
No. I'm going to go get it. He had to order it.
No.
Idiot.
No, not that.
Not that cheap
crap.
Hey,
good news for Zoe.
Whoa.
We got good news
this.
For you, buddy.
What do you got for me?
We'll tell you about it next, okay?
All right.
Stand by.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think. Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Had a man wearing a t-shirt, said Virginia is for lovers. Had a Bible in his left hand and a bottle in the other. He said all you're really given is the sunshine in your name. We both started laughing when the sky
good
started
news for you,
to
Zoe.
Rain. Get along.
Yeah, boy. Let's
Kenny
go.
Chesney has announced his rescheduled tour, so you can put
play
new
hits,
dates
kid.
On. You play can put
hits.
New dates on your calendar. August 27th and 28th of 2021.
How's this good news for me? Like now, I got to wait a year for that.
Yeah, well, it's better than not having a date and not knowing.
Wait,
isn't it?
You didn't
go last year.
Tour's rescheduled.
Or did he not play last year?
He didn't play last year. He skipped it last year. Remember, they had the millionth fan come through.
Oh, yeah. We all remember that well.
I was there for it.
Here's what I know about the Kenny Chesney concerts.
What about them?
Is that at least twice I've had to do the Revolution pre-half and post-game from the studios there while the concert was going on. Obviously, the Revs are on the road on those nights. And where the studio is located down there at field level, it's close to a special room where they take guests at Gillette Stadium who may have been
inebriated.
It's the drunk tank. It's the Gillette Stadium drunk tank.
Overserved in the parking lot by themselves. Not by anyone at Gillette Stadium, of course.
Right.
But I get a little out
of line. They call that loser row.
So in addition to having the concert, you know, coming through the walls while we're trying to, you know, talk, doing a little, you know, a little pitch talk.
A little cleat. Yeah.
You got on the other side. Let me out of here, dang nabbit. I paid good money for this ticket, you son of a bitch.
There's like a wall there now. Hardy, probably about 5 years ago.
It was just a cage.
That area was just chain link fence all the way around on three sides.
Yeah, just a fence you could look
through. Just a fence. There was no brick wall like there is now. It was just a fence on all three sides, and there were metal benches, and they would handcuff them to the railing.
I used
to walk by it, and it was hysterical because it'd be like, Beetle! Beetle! Hey!
Get me out of here!
How you doing? Like, what the hell?
I won't be listening tomorrow. Hey. I love you.
And then you'd always get the, I got arrested. Like, I can't.
The best is MetLife Stadium. Because what they do at MetLife Stadium is they don't even have a holding cage. They have a bench outside the visitor's locker room at MetLife Stadium. So we come out of Patriots locker room, and each individual person is sitting on a metal bench, and it's handcuffed to the back of the bench. And you just sit there and look at them. It's like the scene out of The Hangover. You see that, kids? They call that loser row over there. And the worst part about it, they're all in Jets jerseys. Like, you actually sat in traffic to go to MetLife Stadium in a Jet jersey, and now you're going to get arrested. You're not going to be able to go to work tomorrow or see your family. Like, nothing gets worse than that.
My favorite, though, is when you look in there, and again, we can't really get a good view. If you go around, you can sort of look in, but not like it used to be. It used to be within 3 inches of their faces if you wanted to be. And you'd say, you'd look in, and there'd be like these two guys hammered, having like the deepest conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
He should have played that other song, man.
Having this really deep conversation with each other about, like, you know, the start of the universe or something. Like, what the hell is going on there? Or you'd see the Jets and Patriots fan kiss and make up in there or be at each other's throats. Really, great times.
Right.
Great times.
They really book those people, don't they? Like, they got to put them in a paddy wagon and take them down.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yep. God.
Yes, they do.
Ask anybody working security at down there, though, like, what is their most dreaded event to work?
One, Country Fest.
Oh, that's
Country
the one.
Fest. Country, big country shows.
That is the one. They hate it.
Yep. The best tailgating going on.
The Chillaxification Tour.
Clever name right there. Chillax, Hardy.
So there you go. So put it on your schedule. Put it on your calendar.
He was pushing, what was the last one? Something Bay. It was his rum. Fun Rum Bay or something. Last one. It's good.
27th to 28th Tom, of August.
T-Bone, we get really greased up, get suntan for that one. I found my stuff, T-Bone, by the way.
Honkies Unite.
It's called Solid Black. Look at that, T-Bone.
Blue Chair Bay?
Blue Chair Bay, yes. The Blue Chair Bay Tour. Now, I ordered one of these suckers, and it came in a pack of three. I didn't realize they were getting that much.
What are those?
It's ultra-advanced silicone bronzer. It's got silicone in it.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the rum.
I thought we were looking at rum. I'm like, what is that?
This is my tanning lotion for the tour next year. We're going to be dark. Be dark by the time that comes around. 27? Exactly.
Wait,
that stuff looks cute.
That's really cute. That's like a chemical that makes your skin darker.
Yeah, it's got silicone in it. I'm rubbing it all over me.
That's not natural. That's not natural sun.
Well, it enhances your tan.
I use baby oil. Baby oil and iodine.
That's like Hardy went to the spray tanner. Yeah. And that enhanced his tan.
I usually combine
that. There
baby
was
oil,
no enhancing of
bottle.
My tan. Mine all fake, because I'll burn if I try and go get a tan in February.
I'd pull your forehead.
In the I know you would. I get off on that. Between Zoe and Tom, though.
I kill it.
Tommy, you're not using any bronzer in your tanning lotion of any kind. That's cheating, Zoe. I don't think you can have a legit competition.
Well, I'm missing the two best hours of sun right now, so it's 11-1. That's prime sunning right there.
I know. Tom's out there right now doing it. He's not. What do you think Tom's doing right now?
God.
What are you talking about?
He's standing in the studio with the shade closed.
Yeah, with the phone on his ear.
You're getting more sun than he is.
Right.
You can walk over and look at your garbage truck come by.
Right. T-Bone has the shade closed. He doesn't have that window open.
Right.
Maybe he should open up that shade and start getting some rays.
Oh, no. We get scolded by TV when we open the shades.
Oh, God forbid. Really?
Yeah,
I can't do that. Bad for lighting.
Oh, well, yeah.
It adds so much more to the program.
Aren't we over that?
Those studio lights give off some UV, though.
Yeah, they do.
How's Lanny?
Do you know that our standards have been set back for television and any sort of media production during this pandemic? Like, the standards are gone. That's it. You do what you can now.
Right.
You know?
It's like, how many weeks has the early edition been doing the four squares from home? And like only two
I'm
of them
open
have the
window
mics.
Now. I'm gonna open the shade.
Beetle, how many from early edition?
That's why you don't open the shades. Oh my God!
Oh, hey,
this.
Now, the show is ruined on NBC Sports Boston. Now.
It is close enough.
Shut that down,
T-Bone. I thought you just used butter when you were laying in the sun.
I bought a tanning lamp. And I'm just going to put, like, Hardy, remember the old-school tanning lamps? And I need one of those things for under my chin.
Put all the lights on in the
reflective
room.
Thing.
The poly walnuts thing. Oh, that's
disappear. Now I'm in the tanning bed.
Translucent beetle.
Now I'm in the tanning bed.
Looks like an angel.
Beetle, you look like that guy Powder from that movie Powder.
Right
into
more
eyebrows.
Light. Wait.
Beetle looks like a cross between.
I might be able to make it worse.
An angel and Fergie.
Yep.
Beetle looks like what do they call the people born with no pigment in the hair? The guy Powder.
That's not even Elvis. You look like
radioactive. I am radioactive.
Yeah, I want you to stop. Yeah. I want you to
keep
stop
it off, people. Beetle, keep it like that.
I can't. I can't look at that. Stop doing that,
Ghost Beetle. I'm gonna do the rest of the show like this.
I wish you wouldn't.
That's okay with you.
It's unsettling.
What do you think?
I like it.
Zoe likes
it.
Zoe likes it. He's a big fan. Zoe's got some thoughts on two football items.
Yes.
We'll get to both of those coming up in just a moment. Here are the headlines. No commercials. We're right back.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.